It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Imagine a small U-Haul truck rolling through your neighborhood. Only it's not a U-Haul truck. It's painted sky blue and has glass panels in the middle, and you can see the people inside. What are they doing? Are they spies? No, they're part of a mobile talk show. Talk Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh's first mobile talk show. Throughout April, a truck serving as a mobile talk show set drove to each, and I mean each and every one of the city's 90 neighborhoods to interview residents about their area. The project is part of an outreach effort of the Art PGH and Design PGH components of Plan PGH, Pittsburgh's comprehensive plan for growth over the next 25 years. I'm joined now in Studio A by Nina Sarnelli, assistant producer for Talk Pittsburgh. Nina, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
And Morton Brown, public art manager for the city of Pittsburgh. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
If you'd like to join the conversation, if you have a comment or question, call us, 412-246-2002. 412-246-2002. Perhaps you've seen this truck in your neighborhood, wondered what it was all about. Now's the time to get in with your comment or question. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. So where did the idea of a mobile talk show come from? Nina, I'm going to start with you.
So we were trying to think of a really interesting, fun, kind of visible way of getting people to talk about the neighborhoods. I think we took a little inspiration from The View and some sort of daytime talk shows and the kind of even just a little bit of kitsch coming off of that, and designed this thing to look like you have this kind of glamour feeling of sort of stepping onto a stage and getting to perform something that's actually quite commonplace, that's very real to you, talking about, you know, what matters to you in the neighborhoods. So
it says here on this piece of paper I just read that you did, in fact, go to all 90 neighborhoods. But now that I have you here in person, I can ask, did you really do that, Morton?
Well, Nina and her crew did.
Oh, yeah.
I went out with them a couple of times. Really, the first day we were in the Hill District, I believe. It was a long day, but amazing. And they did actually go to every neighborhood and had extensive conversations with residents therein.
So how did you find your guests? Did you just like maybe ring a bell like on an ice cream truck and just everybody comes running? Or?
I wish. That would have been so much easier.
What did you do?
It was a combination of things. So and there were neighborhoods where if we didn't have people sort of signed up or scheduled in advance, we literally did ring doorbells. We went into businesses. We passed out flyers, you know, all that kind of stuff, and tried to just pull people off the street. But really there was about 3 weeks of pre-production where I was calling everyone that anyone knew in the city and asking if they might want to participate. So we solicited lots of input from city planning and also from community leaders in all the neighborhoods to start off with. And typically what we would do is I would try to identify one community leader in an area, and then they would try to find three different types of people in their area to be on the show. So it wasn't necessarily that we were getting all the community leaders on the show, but that they could say, well, I have this resident who's lived here for, you know, all her life, and then I have these young folks who just moved in who started this business, and, you know, get these people together and maybe we'll have a diverse look at the neighborhood.
And so. I want to go back to the part where you're ringing somebody's doorbell. They have no idea that you're going to show up, and you say, you know, hey, I want to talk to you, and you just step inside my truck that's parked here.
If they could see the truck. That made a big difference. So I would come with a flyer sometimes, just come out and come look, you know, because it's instantly recognizable what's going on once they could see what, you know, the actual vehicle. But
what were the issues that you were hoping to get to is at the heart of all of this?
Sure. Yeah, I think Morton should respond a little bit to that too. But we were starting with questions that were very basic about the neighborhoods, asking what do you like about the neighborhood? What would you like to change if you could? And where could you see it changing in the next 25 years, which is really at the heart of, you know, Plan PGH. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. We are running a public art plan and an urban design plan for the city. So that's really sort of where this started. We're all too aware that some people just don't show up to community meetings. And in those community meetings, sometimes it's the same usual suspects. So we wanted an alternative means to get to every neighborhood, to get to those people who are just a cross sampling, as random as we could get and as diverse as we could get out in each neighborhood. So John Rubin and Nina came up with this idea. And really, we knew that we couldn't go into each neighborhood and say, hey, what do you like about public art? What kind of public art do you want to see in this neighborhood? Or how's the urban design going in your neighborhood currently? You can't really ask those questions. You've got to get down to a level that's not planning jargon, in a way that people can just talk about what are the strengths and weaknesses in their neighborhood by talking about the character of their neighborhood. How long have they lived there? Did you just move here? And those sorts of things. So we know that, you know, not all of this is usable data for the plan, but there will be some good information we can use as plan recommendations. But this archive, the films that are coming out of this, we think will be fantastic. We're still thinking of ways to put them online and do public screenings later on in the plan, as a means to kind of build this trust between the city and its residents. And hopefully that trust has been established by this endeavor.
And what happens to the information that you compile from all of these interviews?
Well, we've not only been doing the interviews, we've been doing a series of community meetings too, more of a traditional format. So we've been getting very distinct data from people in their neighborhood. We've had them responding to certain maps and analysis that we've done on topography and view sheds and all this sort of things. And we're, at the end of the day, we don't know what we got yet out of the films of Talk PGH.
Yeah, April just ended yesterday.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But we think that we will be able to have, if nothing else, we will have good testimony from these neighborhoods. That'll be a point in time that we think we could put on our website. We think that we could maybe make it connect to snap.com, which is a demographic website that City Planning built. And we hope that people in community groups will visit these over time and have their own little screening parties and discuss what was said by their residents in their neighborhood. And for us, it's a way to kind of bring the city together in this sort of massive undertaking.
And Nina, describe some of the most memorable guests and their responses.
Sure. I'd say the ones that stick with me most are typically the very old and very young. We had some really fantastic seniors, a couple in their 90s, who were talking. I remember a woman in Allentown talking about horses and buggies on Warrington Avenue, and just talking about how the neighborhoods had changed. And in some neighborhoods, that's for the better, for the worse. A lot of gentrification discussion came out. I think one of the things that was interesting was sort of the ability to incorporate contradiction, having one person say one thing and somebody else say something completely different about the same topic. I don't know if that really answered your question, but those were some of my favorites. There was a group in Knoxville that I really liked, which was the computer center there. They had built this really incredible tabletop computer that similar to sort of a tabletop Microsoft Surface, but they had done it with Google with like a crew of students between like 15 and up, I think. And it was an incredible endeavor they were telling us about in a really diverse group in the community. So that was one that was really stuck with me.
What seems to be the some of the common threads between the neighborhoods?
Let's see. I would say a couple things that really stuck out, I sort of mentioned before, was the gentrification discussion and the diversity discussion, I think. The gentrification question of sort of when the population in some neighborhoods starts aging and a lot of properties are in disrepair. A lot of older people were saying they wanted younger people in the neighborhood to be revitalizing the neighborhood, to be investing, fixing things up. But then they also had concerns about changing. The neighborhood's changing too fast or too much, losing the characteristics that they really identify with. So that was one thing, and we would sort of prod them to talk about what are those characteristics that they want to see maintained. And then there was also a lot of, and I would say the most difficult discussion I think that came up a lot was diversity and racism in the neighborhoods. So even though you have a lot of integration in some of these gentrifying neighborhoods of age diversity, racial diversity was a topic that was not always very positively talked about. And it really, in a lot of those neighborhoods, there just really isn't a lot of racial diversity going on. We had, you know, people in some really great neighborhoods that they really love living in also talking about the racism of their neighbors and just feeling like not sure how to deal with that, you know.
We're just about to our end of our time, but this is all fascinating. I know a lot of people would maybe like to see this. Where can they go? There's going to be a webcast.
Yes. We're in city planning. You can go to planpgh.com. You can sign up for updates, and we'll be notifying everyone in our exchange program as to when that's up online.
And we'll put a link to it on our website at WESA.FM. Nina Sarnelli, assistant producer for Talk PGH, and Morton Brown, public arts manager for the city of Pittsburgh. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM. And there is a podcast that you can listen to in iTunes. Tomorrow at noon, Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey discusses concerns about persistent gaps in U.S. counterterrorism procedures. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.